Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, Ben Lee, and Eric Nathanson. Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball, the San Francisco Giants. This is TortureCast.
It's Monday, May 14th, 2018, and this is episode 143 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad King. On this wonderful afternoon, joining me from Georgia is Eric Nathanson. What's up, dude?
My weather is more like the Giants. It was sunny for a while, and then it's going to be crappy. So I'm glad it's nice out there. Hopefully the Giants can do something good at home.
Yeah, no kidding.
What a rough road trip. You said it last week when we started. We should get one in because, you know, the Giants are hot right now. And it's almost like, not that you jinxed them, but you kind of saw it coming because they ran into a wall for six games before breaking through yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. And last week, we're extolling the virtues of the Giants' performance after sweeping the Braves, the first-place Braves at the time. And, you know, had won 11 out of 14 and like 7 out of 8. And we're like, hey, This is good. They're, you know, four games above 500. Well, yeah, they ran into that proverbial buzzsaw that I was kind of afraid of. Just, again, another correction to this team that might be a 500 team, which is okay, again, if, you know, they can be around there when Baum and Cueto and others get back. But they kind of dip below 500. They lost six in a row, Eric. That was not good. Yeah. In fact, wow. The rare four-game sweep at the hands of the Phillies. I mean, it's hard for any team in major leagues, I mean, or any similar level, really, with comparable teams to sweep one another in a four-game series. I mean, three-game sweeps are hard enough, but four-game sweeps are just extremely rare. Everything has to be going right for one team and or wrong for the other team, and everything just went wrong for the Giants, from lack of hitting, from lack of pitching and letting balls fly out of the yard, lack of situational hitting, and no contact. I don't know what happened this week, but the strikeouts were off the charts. It's like every person was Dave Kingman or something. I don't know what happened, but it was crazy.
It was. Did you feel like I watched that entire series and I never felt like the Giants had a shot in any of the games?
No, that's even, the problem is they weren't even really close in any of the games except, you know, the 6-5 game, which preceded their only win in that streak, which, you know, they lost at the bases loaded walk. That was the only one they were close, but you're right. I think the other five games, it was just like, okay, chuck this one up.
And then that goes to, I mean, as much as the strikeouts, considering they struck out over 10 times in five straight games and five of those six losses, they stranded runners. But starting pitching was giving up runs. Yesterday was the first time in a week that a Giants starting pitcher got through three innings without giving up a run.
Woo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Once it was the fourth inning, but that was when the Phillies scored four runs in the fourth inning. So okay. Holland was the first guy to get through four. Nobody else could get through three. And he, you know, they shut out Pittsburgh yesterday. But, I mean, even back in the Atlanta games that they won over that last weekend, every time I counted it as a positive last week, and it's a negative now. Last week, I'm like, well, look at that. They're winning games when the other team scores first. And against Philly and Pittsburgh, they just looked like a dead team once they got, you know, down in the game. They gave up 11 runs three different times over this six-game losing streak. That is so hard to do. And you can't just – that's why you can't just say it's strikeouts, it's lack of situational hitting. Yeah, the hitters, they get their blame, but, like, the pitching staff has done nothing to help them. Derek Holland saved the pitching staff yesterday. I mean, the fact that they still don't have a day off until a week from today, I believe it is – you know, they're in a long stretch where they need a lot of pitching, and nobody's been going deep in games. And it's highlighted when we talk about who's not doing well lately. It's highlighted in the bullpen finally getting beat up. You know, the pitching's crumbled, the hitting's crumbled. It all just kind of crumbled at one time. And I personally was happy to leave Pennsylvania once I moved away once upon a time, and I think the Giants felt the same yesterday as they boarded that plane in Pittsburgh. But hey, at least they had a happy flight. The road trip was 4-6, you know, against three tough teams that are all at or near the top of their division. So, I mean, 4-6, you want to look at the bright side. It's not that bad of a road trip. But 5-5, 6-4, especially after that 3-0 start, would have been a whole lot better.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point there. You know, you say, hey, look, this 10-game road trip with all above 500 teams, if they went 4-6, would you be disappointed? I'd say, you know what? No, not with this team the way they are right now and the people that they're missing. I would love to see 500, maybe even a 6-4, but that's a 1 or 2 game difference. It's not the end of the world. But man, when you start out 3-0 and hitting the cover off the ball, it just seemed like, God, there's how can they not finish this road trip above 500? They only had to go 3-4 the rest of the way, and they didn't do that. But the other silver lining we can look at, the other positive news, is that the rest of the National League West, of course, struggled. Last week, I had a look at the notes. We mentioned that the Giants, after winning all those games, were only 4 games back of the Diamondbacks. Now, after losing 6 of 7, they're only 4.5 games back of the Diamondbacks right now. That is incredible to me. They lost a half a game when you lose 6 out of 7? That's because of the rest of the NL West. You know, Arizona's lost 5 in a row. They got swept by the Nats. The Dodgers, God bless the Cincinnati Reds, who are coming into town tonight. They swept them, speaking of a 4-game series, in L.A. The formerly 8-27 Cincinnati Reds increased their win percentage or their win total by a ton. Winning those 4 games and then 2 prior to that. So they're actually pretty hot right now. They're coming into to AT&T having won 6 in a row. Which,
and doesn't it feel like the Giants always have problems with the Reds at home? Like,
yes, they
do. I feel
like
they're such a nuisance team.
Historically, they have. They've done okay at Cincinnati's ballpark, but not here for some reason. And unfortunately, yeah, you have a team coming in who's hot, so it's all about momentum, I know, and any time you start, I mean, look what the Giants did. They had won, 11 out of 14, 8 out of 9, 4 in a row, and then boom, they lose 6 in a row. So it doesn't mean the Reds are going to come in and stomp the Giants, not at all. But they are playing good ball right now. The Giants are not, so they're going to have to right the ship. Hopefully the friendly confines will help them do so. I do think they should send a little gift over to their clubhouse prior to the game and just say, hey, thanks for destroying the Dodgers, but, game on tonight. Because the Dodgers
had such
buried,
a chance.
Man.
Yeah, they had such a chance to get back in it here with Arizona getting swept in 4. You know, it's funny. You said it's so tough to get swept in 4 games, yet over the weekend, Arizona and L.A. both got swept in 4 at home.
Yeah.
Which is even worse, which means Washington's playing good ball right now. Thankfully, the Giants caught them at the right time.
Yeah, I think Washington's won 20 out of 23 or something like that. I mean, they're just on fire right now.
I think the Giants are a couple of those losses in the middle of that one. The Dodgers, I think they've done. They hit the wall. It's going to be really hard, even getting Justin Turner and Blake Forsyth back tomorrow. It's going to be really hard for them to get it going again. Like, the Giants at least have, they're still, 3.5 games better than the Dodgers right now.
They are. The Dodgers are 8 games back, and they're only 1 game ahead of the Padres at 9 games back. They're 16-24, which now is, I guess it's a little bit better than Cincinnati, but Cincinnati's catching up to the Dodgers right now. They've lost 4 in a row, of course, and the Vegas odds, which had put them at a 2-1 favorite to win the pennant this year to get back to the World Series, suddenly this week, or I should say yesterday after getting swept, suddenly dropped those odds to 9-1. So it shows you that Vegas is looking at their current standing and going, yes, this is not the team that we're going to favor to get back to the pennant or to the World Series at this point.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I don't mind watching Dodgers fans melt down this year. It's about time they got kicked around a little, so I'll just enjoy the I can't say the word. I can't say the word, so.
Schadenfreude?
Yes, I'm so bad at it. I'll say Schadenfreude or,
It is a little bit of Schadenfreude watching these guys getting, demolished by the Reds. But turnabout is fair play, and we should bite our tongues to see what's going to happen this series as they come in. But the Giants are sitting okay at 4.5 back. They're, 3.5 back of the wild card. That did, of course, they were a half game out when we last recorded. They dropped about 3 games in those standings, which, again, wild card's way too early to talk about, but it gives you an idea of the NL West performed poorly this last week, but the wildcard contenders, because there's a mix of teams, did not. So they did gain a lot of ground on the Giants in that regard. But that's okay. You want the division. You don't want the wild card. You don't want that 1-game crapshoot. You want to go in with a 5-game series. So The Giants are still well. They're at the table. Let's just put it that way. They're at the table, yeah. Only four and a half games back. So, although long way to go.
I gotta say, I'm looking at the standings overall in the National League, and there are ten teams over 500. There's four teams in the East: Atlanta, Philly, Washington, the Mets. Four in the Central: Milwaukee, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Chicago. Mm-hmm. That are all over 500. That's a lot. And it's not to say that it's not going to even out, but it shows how much the NL West got beat up on the last week. And it's funny because the NL West has been the strong division. You know, they had the three playoff teams last season in mm-hmm. the Dodgers, Colorado, and Arizona. And it seems like the whole league's kind of turned into other places like the East with Atlanta and Philly and Washington, you know, to look for another strongest division. I don't think the NL West can claim that anymore. I think last year they had it and the Giants weren't included, which makes it another chance for the Giants. I mean, they're 20-21. They're sitting there. Like, they go on another streak. They're at the same records that these people are at. It's all going to even out. You know, it all depends if they can pick on the NL's worst, because Cincinnati may have won six straight, but they are the worst team in the National League.
They're the worst team in the National League. And the Nationals started out the season really poor. They were hovering near the bottom in the NL East, and of course they've caught fire like we thought they would at some point. They are a quality team. But you're right. The Giants, I wouldn't put them in the same, you know, level as the Nationals at this point, but they've proven that they can put together a nice week or two in a row, and they do that again just like the Nationals, and like you said, they're going to be right up there. You know, these teams are only 6, 7, 8 games above 500. Not that that's not hard to do, but the numbers aren't deafening, I guess.
Nobody's running away with it. Boston and New York have the best records in baseball at 28-12, and the best record in the National League is the Braves at 24-15.
Yeah, and the Giants swept them, so in their park.
That's a big, you know what I mean? It's a big difference. The NL seems to be more of a crapshoot, whereas the AL is very top-heavy with Boston, New York, Cleveland, Houston, possibly the Angels. You know, it's totally different. So the Giants, they're actually in a good position, you know, with Bumgarner coming back in the next couple of weeks to settle the rotation down possibly and give the bullpen a break and maybe teach these young guys how to pitch deeper in games. You know, things could still look good for them. This is a good homestand against the Reds and the Rockies. It should be a good test to see if they can beat up on some teams that aren't playing good, that aren't fully talented teams. You know, mm-hmm. they're not playing the Cubs and the Nationals of the world, so they should win games against Colorado and Cincinnati.
Yeah, this is their only homestand of the month. They started the month with a couple of games at home at the tail end of their last homestand. But pretty much it's these seven games in the middle of the month before they go back on the road for another long road trip. So this is where they're going to have to, especially after losing 6 out of 7 and only going 4-6 on the road trip, this is where they're going to have to get healthy, especially considering what may be coming up here at the end of the month. And you want to talk a little bit about Bumgarner and his prognosis?
Yeah, they seem to be wanting to speed it along. They gave the example much like Shark, but that's a crappy ass example right now.
Yeah,
and Shark keeps missing high and arm side. That's a whole other thing. But Bumgarner is apparently he's been itching to get back out there. He's been throwing off flat ground. He is going to do a bullpen session. I believe it's today. And over the weekend and next week, he'll do simulated games. And then they're talking about possibly having May 22nd be his one minor league rehab start and then activating him for his next start in the big leagues after that and keeping him on a short leash, a 60, 75-pitch leash, but bringing him up there just to get him up there. They're doing the quote-unquote bum rush. And I don't know if it's, you know, hurting or helpful. I mean, it's a tough road trip they're going on after this homestand, going to Houston, Chicago, and then ending in Colorado, I think it is. So I totally understand activating Bumgarner for that, but I wouldn't mind waiting until the Giants get home again for that.
Sure.
So maybe slides in another minor league rehab start, but he's itching to get out there. And if the Giants don't perform, if they don't go 4-3, 5-2 on this homestand, and you know, they might feel the need to get Bumgarner up quicker. So it's a good news, bad news situation. It's good news in that Bumgarner could be back, but it's bad news in that it's, you know, you're just kind of cautious. And, you know, I mean, he came back good last year. So hopefully he's not, you know, compensating somehow with his, you know, pitching and his hand. But, you know, cautiously optimistic is the best we can call it right now.
Yeah, for sure. You know, last year was a shoulder injury, and he looked pretty good coming back from that. This is just a hand injury. Not that it can't affect anything, of course, but it certainly is in his shoulder joint. You just hope, like you said, he's not overcompensating and altering his throwing motion. And, of course, there's just getting into throwing shape. By all accounts, he's in great shape. He's done everything to keep his body in tip-top shape, but that still can't account for the repetitive motion of the shoulder and that muscle memory and building up that stamina in the joint and the elbow and everything like that. So, and that's something that may have really affected Shark, because, you know, the Giants brass have admitted that they rushed back Shark, and they're not saying it was a mistake. They just said, yeah, we rushed him because we needed him badly. Unfortunately, I think it's showing in his performance right now, because Shark has always been prone to the home run. He's always had some of these issues that we've talked about over the years. But at the end of the year, he ends up having an exceptional sterling strikeout-to-walk ratio. The guy never walks anyone. He pitches 200 innings. He's one of the horses out there. And even if he gives up a lot of runs, he can still pitch another 3-4 innings to give the bullpen a rest. This year, however, much shorter outings, many more home runs, which is a lot to say, and a lot of walks and even some hit batters. So he's all over the place right now, and I think that lack of control speaks to maybe rushing him a little bit, because they still talk about him being in his extended spring training. Now, how long is that supposed to last? Like, a lot of the writers, you know, they've had him on Schulman and Bags and Cowley and these other guys, and they all keep giving him a pass. Like, well, he's had this many starts, so I'd say another 3 starts you got to consider it spring training. Well, okay, we're getting to that point now where he's had enough starts where I would consider it. He's got to be there, especially in spring training. You're not pitching 5-6 innings. You're pitching maybe 2 or 3 in the beginning and then building up your arm. So, you know, I don't know how many more excuses they're going to give him. Without an injury, they're not going to shelve him at this point unless he goes another month doing this. But at the same time, it's like Tyler Beattie sucks, but is he going to be better than Shark right now? He might be.
No, he had the same day.
Oh yeah, the walks down in AAA, right? It's been bad.
He had a horrible day the same day. That's true. He's been bad in AAA. You know what? They're going to stick with Shark as long as they can. And he's got a problem. I don't know if it's mechanical or mental. I don't know if his adrenaline's getting too much to him, because every time he misses, I said it earlier, he misses high in the zone and to the arm side, meaning it's drifting back over the plate a lot of the time. And when you miss, you want to miss away and out of the zone, or down and out of the zone, or even when you're up, you want it up, you know, out of the zone. And his keep drifting over, and that's the home run problem. I think he's the kind of guy that can kind of fix it, and we can get a few starts from him where he'll go 7 innings, give up 2 runs, and eat up a bunch of innings and strike out 10. But I think they're just starting to get fewer and farther between. I'm not sure he can harness that anymore. I think it's worth looking into him as a bullpen piece in the future, but maybe not just yet.
No. They don't have the depth. They need him. They need him. So they don't have another option right now. You know, if they had Cueto and Bum right now, and they had another arm or two waiting in AAA, maybe there would be a reason to start discussing that option. But not at all right now. They're really struggling. And let's get to that right now. Before we talk about who's hot, let's actually talk about who's not first. We're talking about the pitching and how bad they have been in the last week since the sweep. Shark had 2 starts, 9 2/3 innings, 10 earned runs. The rest of the starting staff, except Derek Holland, 13 innings pitched, 15 earned runs. The whole week was just a train wreck. And like you said, yeah, the offense struggled to a certain extent, but that was not the reason they lost all these games. It really was the pitching that put them behind the eight ball. You know, with all, you know, losing by, you know, 11 runs, how many times, you said 3 times this last week they allowed 11 runs, the late inning bullpen blow-ups, and that is also a symptom of the starters not going deep. When the starters don't go deep, there's much more pressure on the bullpen. They got to throw a lot more innings. They get tired. They start giving up runs. You have guys like Tony Watson.
Yeah, he had a rough weekend.
Normally is just spot on. He had a very, very rough week. In fact, between Watson, Snelton, I know he's down now, Valdez and Johnson, they gave up 17 earned runs in just 7 innings. Dude, that's like above a 20 ERA. I mean, between four guys. Well, I think Watson was like four earned runs in an inning and a third or something. It's not been good for the bullpen. They definitely need a day off, and they're not going to get it because they're coming right into tonight. They got seven games in a row before their next off day. So it's really important for guys like Chris Stratton, who's on the bump tonight, to go at least – you got to go at least six, hopefully seven. But six is like the bare minimum. You got to give some of these arms a rest in the bullpen.
Yeah, it's weird that Holland's the guy that's done it. You know, like we talk about Shark, and that's why he stays there. He's the veteran. Suarez had a rough go of it the other day too. Yeah. So I think six innings is what you want. Stratton has shown he can go a good strong seven, and I think Bochy's not afraid to ride him. But, I mean, after the way it's been for the weekend, Watson and Strickland, they're all going to have to be put back in their normal roles and have a good outing in their normal situations for everybody to feel leveled out again, I think. You know, Watson, I mean, he got hammered on Friday, and then he hit the guy to set knock in the winning run, basically, on yeah. Saturday's game. It was just a bad, like, homecoming weekend for him back in Pittsburgh as well. So he needs to have a good, clean, fresh eighth inning. You know, so it'd be nice if Stratton can give them that, or even Suarez, I'm guessing, is on Wednesday. I'm guessing it's blocked tomorrow. And then, you know, the Giants' bats do need to do something, but there's no way the Reds are going to score 11 runs like these other teams. So it's totally feasible.
I'm just knocking on my wood desk here.
Well, it's feasible that the starting pitching can go deeper, because you would think that a worse team is going to hit themselves out more than, you know, the Phillies, the Pirates, and even the Braves did.
Yeah, let's just be thankful they swept the Braves. Otherwise, that road trip would have been catastrophic at this point.
Season would be over. Season would be over.
Well, it wouldn't be in good shape.
Well, let me tell you, they've broken me. My optimism is gone. I am in a show.
Oh, poor Eric.
All that optimism I had at the beginning of the season, it's gone. This road trip broke me. It was just how they lost.
Yeah.
Swinging and missing, and then the bullpen, the thing was, is like they'd come in when it was 5-0, and then suddenly it'd be 9-0 and 11-2, and it's like, what the hell, bullpen? At least, you know, keep it respectable. Just kept piling on. It's like nobody cared. Felt like nobody cared. Like, the Giants really need to show on this homestand that they remember that feeling of how much they hate losing.
Yeah, Belt struck out 10 times in 29 at-bats. This is the last 7 days during the 6-out-of-7 losing streak. Blanco, 9 times out of 19. Crawford, 7 out of 25. Gorky, 7 out of 15. Jackson, 7 out of 12. Longoria, 7 out of 29. Kutch, 7 out of 24. Hundley, 5 out of 11. Posey, yeah. The pedestrian, 5 out of 20, which is actually high for him. Yep. Hanson, 4 out of 19. Pablo, 4 out of 14. You know, it was not it was not a good week for batting average with balls hit and play. So this is, I don't think this team is a whiff team all the time. I really, really don't, because they're not situated for power. They definitely have more power than in the past, but they're not a power team. So this is more of a symptom of a Yankees or Houston Astros or some team like that perennially has a high strikeout rate, but can live with it because of the production they get with the home run ball. The Giants cannot live at this strikeout rate because they lack that power. So it's definitely a correction that has to be made. Hopefully it's just a blip on the radar.
I read today that they've had 20 games of 10 or more strikeouts, and the most they ever had in a season was like 41, and it was in 2014, which was a good year. But that's a lot. The other thing that was interesting is the Giants are in a stretch. They've just faced a right-handed starter 10 straight times, and they're going to face three more against the Reds. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that their strikeouts tick up against a right-handing pitcher, and the righties feast on the lefties a little more. Like, that was the concern a few weeks ago, all these lefties the NL West was throwing at the Giants. But it turns out they're getting shut down by the righties. I don't know, you know, what the answer to that is. It's worth a look at their approach in those different ways. They're just not as patient as they seem to be with the left-handers. I don't know where it's coming from, but they have to, you know, do something about it. But I'll bet you they still strike out a ton the next 3 days.
Yeah, we'll see what's going on. Speaking of which, tonight they will be playing the Cincinnati Reds at 7:15, and I will be attending the game. So look for a lot of that stuff tonight if you happen to listen to this podcast this evening. We also got the Warriors game going on against the Rockets in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, which is going to be a lot of fun at the ballpark, I think, tonight. I will definitely try and grab an interview or two if I can. At least tweet out some words that are uttered by Bochy in the pregame interview and a lot of other things. So I'm looking forward to that tonight because it'll be my first game of 2018 to cover. I also wanted to talk about Eric's writing. He's been doing a fantastic job. I've been thoroughly entertained and informed. I think I know a lot about the Giants, and I read a lot of Eric's stuff, and I'm like, shit, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. So Eric really goes deep. His Friday weekly torture report is fantastic. So we're trying to promote that. So please, please, please go ahead and read that. It's really, really good shit. Not being biased or anything, but it's good stuff.
I appreciate
it. Sounds like you have a lot of fun. It reads like you have a lot of fun writing it too. It's not.
I do, coming up with the ideas of the different things to talk about, and you know, like how I can make fun of different things. Like I ended the last one with as if anybody had a good weekend in Pittsburgh, because I mean, who's ever had a good weekend in Pittsburgh?
Has that ever happened?
Right. I mean, I know I live on a farm in Georgia, but I've never had a good weekend in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I personally have never been. I've been to Philly, and I did not like that town. But that was a very cursory experience there, so I don't want to speak poorly of someone's hometown.
I lived in Pennsylvania for a couple of years. I didn't like it.
Didn't like it, huh?
No, flat out just didn't like it.
Well, sorry to any Pennsylvania natives out there or anyone currently residing.
That's all right. You root for the Giants, so we appreciate you listening.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So anyway, you got anything else to talk about, Eric? Because I think that's about it. I got to get wrapped up and head up to AT&T.
Yeah, no, I'm just jealous. Now that life has settled down, I'll get to one of these Giants games with Chad. But you know, follow along tonight. I love seeing the videos of the batting practices and stuff like that. So have fun tonight.
Yeah, I'll try to do a little Facebook Live or something like that for batting practice. I mean, I got to tell you, I love doing this, but I only get up there a handful of times a year. If I didn't have kids and you know, and a wife, I'm sure I'd be up there for half the games. But that's not the case. More important things in life, unfortunately.
And another place and another time.
That's right. So hopefully this will continue for quite some time, and my kids are out of the house and I can still do this. Okay, well, you can follow us collectively on Twitter at TortureCast or like us on Facebook. Just find us there. Shouldn't be too hard. You can follow us individually at ChadK21 for myself, at Two Out Hits for Eric. That's with the number two. Also, check out all the wonderful writing that Eric does, and we have all of our podcasts posted up on torturecast.com. And if you're listening to us right now, you don't need to be told where to find it. I always love that, too, you know, at the end of every podcast. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and this and that. It's like, well, shit, if you're listening to us, you know that already.
I already found you, yep.
Yeah, you already found us. But maybe you didn't know of other options you can listen to us you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but I mean, I just have to say, though, in this day and age, don't you feel like if you hear a podcast, you're like, huh, you just go to your podcast app, and if it's not in your podcast app, you'll find it somewhere else. Ours is in literally every podcast app you can imagine. I use the podcast app, and that's what ours is in.
Hey, is Alexa working for you right now? Should give her a try?
Alexa, play TortureCast podcast. She's not going to do it. She crapped out on me. She didn't.
Oh, she hates us. She hates us.
Yeah, she does.
That's it was working for a while. You're right. I suddenly couldn't get it to work. But anyway, you can find us on YouTube too. So you could like stream it to your TV while you're vacuuming and you know play it that way. I don't know. Do whatever you need to. But I really do appreciate everyone. We've have had a surge, an uptick in listenership. So we really do appreciate that. A lot of good comments coming from our various hosting accounts as well as YouTube. So we do appreciate the feedback because it gives us the motivation to continue this. We do love the Giants. We want to give you the best fan coverage, if you will, that we can. We're not insiders, but we do have a pulse on the team, and we appreciate you listening to us. So for Eric, this is Chad signing off for episode 143. Hopefully you'll follow me tonight at the game. You can follow at TortureCast or at ChadK21. Get updates there. And until next time, episode 144, we'll see you then. Ba-boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.